Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Faherty, founded by twin brothers, family business, closer great, relaxed, lifetime guarantee of quality, 20% off all fall and winter. Go to FahertyBrand.com/Herd, FahertyBrand.com/Herd. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Carson Wentz has been doing a little bit of an impression of Patrick Mahomes on the field, throwing left-handed under pressure. And Frank Reich would prefer he only use his right hand, but he also said he has faith in his quarterback.
Some parameters, some guidelines on him, but you got to trust the player at the end of the day and his instincts. It doesn't mean you can't coach him. It doesn't mean that you can't tell him what you like and what you don't like, but he still has to feel like you believe in him.
He makes some points. Points were made, however.
Yeah,
you don't want to lean too much into that type of stuff in some high-pressure situations.
By the way, I like reckless quarterbacks. Favre, Andrew Luck, and Carson Wentz. And Darnold. Now, Darnold's the least talented. But Andrew Luck, that was the knock on him. And Carson Wentz. And we all love Favre. It's just, there's reckless, and then there's, I'm going to throw it spinning around in the end zone with my left hand.
Right, and Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think he's reckless.
I don't think. Well, we've seen a little bit of that at the beginning of the year.
But his history tells you he doesn't throw it. Like Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes, and what's amazing, Brady throws picks.
Aaron Rodgers is the opposite of reckless.
Yeah,
he is the opposite of Brett Favre. He is going to bail on a situation every time if it's not what he wants.
I'm okay with reckless because reckless tends to mean playmaker.
Yeah, right.
And I backed Andrew Luck, and I backed Carson Wentz and Favre. It's just Darnold doesn't quite have the arm those guys do. He can't make up for his recklessness.
Well, Wentz this season has a 5-5 record. He has 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and 3 lost fumbles. He's had no turnovers the past 2 weeks, and the Colts have won 4 of their last 5 games. So they're currently second in the AFC South.
All you people, by the way, we were big fans of this move.
Yeah, I did. I thought that this was a better situation for Carson Wentz. Obviously, yes. Philadelphia did not want to continue, and he clearly needs to be with Frank Reich.
Where are all the critics of this move? Crickets.
Well, yes. I mean, that's how it goes. You
know? Where are all the Tua fanboys? Crickets.
The Wi-Fi's been down. The Wi-Fi's been down for weeks.
Apparently, it's down in New York because all the Zach Wilson fanboys have dried up. Apparently, yeah. There's an internet outage in New York City.
Fortunately, even though I am extremely petty, I am also extremely busy. Otherwise, I would take the time to look up each of these individuals personally.
It's funny.
And remind them.
When they're right, they come roaring into the show. But the Tua fanboys and the Zach Wilson fanboys and the Carson Wentz critics disappear. Now, in Carolina, the Sam Darnold critics, oh my God, get 70 emails a day, 70 tweets a day from those guys. That they don't have a power outage, the Darnold critic.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, big game this weekend, though, for the Colts. Colts and Bills on Sunday.
Oh, that's good. Is that the late one?
They're currently 7.5-point underdogs.
That is a big game. What time is it at? That's
1 o'clock?
That's a good 1 o'clock game. 1 o'clock Pacific? 1 o'clock Eastern?
Yes.
It's a 10 in the morning game?
It's a 10 in the morning game, yes.
Wow, that is a good 10 a.m. game.
The afternoon games, there's a lot of morning games this week. The afternoon games are Bengals, Raiders, Cowboys, Chiefs.
Oh, whoa, Cowboys, Chiefs?
Yes.
What great network has that one? Oh, do we have that one? Of course. Put it on. League said, we don't know what it's on. Let's put it on Fox. That's the network of choice.
So Myles Garrett blamed the lack of in-game adjustments for their horrible 45-7 loss to the Patriots on Sunday. And yesterday, Kevin Stefanski acknowledged Myles' comments.
You know, you have a game like that, there's a lot of frustration. I have spoken to Myles about that. I'll keep that conversation between Myles and myself. You give up 45, you score 7. We didn't have a good enough plan. We didn't make enough adjustments. We didn't play well enough. It's all of the above when you get beat.
I actually really didn't have a problem with Myles saying what he said.
Well, it's not coaches don't like that. I mean,
coaches don't like that. And especially because if you're talking about adjustments and decision making, you're talking about the coaches.
Right.
Like, obviously, if he had said we didn't make the adjustments that we were supposed to make on the field, then he's putting it on the players. But right. he didn't. And yeah, coaches don't love it. But look, you're not playing well. And yeah. that's what's going to happen. And sometimes I don't have a problem with all call outs. Like, some call outs are ridiculous. Like the Baker calling out the medical staff. Like, what is the value of that?
Yeah.
You can't do that. Yeah. Players calling out coaches, calling out players every once in a while has some value to it. Bruce Arians has called out Tom Brady publicly. There's been situations where coaches have discussed players not doing what they need to do. Why shouldn't the leader of your defense be able to do that? Miles Garrett, who's certainly doing his job this year. Right. Now, it's a team game, so a loss is a loss regardless of how well you're playing individually. But look, the Browns are supposed to be a playoff team. Now, again, we may all be getting a little ahead of ourselves as to how good the Browns really were and are because of the coach of the year and because they did win a playoff game so convincingly against the Steelers last year. You're supposed to build on that, and they haven't really looked good as of late. It's a concerning situation for them. They allowed the Patriots to rush for 184 yards. The defense is supposed to be improving at this point, and they are last in the AFC North. Now, they're 10-point favorites against the Lions this week, which is... Yeah.
By the way, Baker's going to roll over the Lions.
Definitely.
And all the fanboys who have a power outage in Ohio this week, you can't get a hold of them this week. They'll all come pouring back in Sunday afternoon.
Now, It's not time for Blazing Five, but you did take the Lions this week, and you were right against the Steelers.
Well, no. Cleveland's the play here.
10 points?
Talented teams that get humiliated. I took the Cowboys last week. The play here, I take one blowout a week this year. I never used to. Cleveland will roll Detroit.
I think I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah.
I'm still a little nervous about those big lines.
I know.
But the Ben Simmons Sixers standoff continues. It's this never-ending saga. According to Shams Charania of The Athletic, the Sixers have fined Simmons an unspecified amount for failure to travel with the team on the current road trip. Charania presents the standoff as a disagreement between the two sides over Simmons' mental health. Simmons' camp reportedly claims that the Sixers are trying to force him to play despite his current struggles, and the team apparently just wants information about what he needs and what is happening from his mental health professionals to show that he actually needs time off. And of course, Rich Paul put out the statement last week that said it's not about a trade, but rather, you know, helping him get his client get the help he needs. So the Sixers start a Western Conference road trip tonight against the Jazz, then Nuggets, Trailblazers, Kings, and Warriors. So they are continuing without him. The situation is this with Ben Simmons. If you are not playing for something other than an excused absence, which mental health would fall under this, or an injury, which mental health would also fall under, then you have to be fined. Like, that's how it works.
Sure.
So if you're not explaining your mental health situation, your mental health professionals are not reporting to the team what is happening, what the progression is, and when you will be able to play or if you will be able to play, then you're not communicating with the team. So I'm not picking sides here, but if you want to remove the stigma of mental health, you have to treat it as you do physical health. Like, you wouldn't rush him back if he was if he just had shoulder surgery. It's the same thing, but you would still have his doctors reporting to the team about the progress of his surgery. Right. You don't have to have details of what it is he's going through, but you have to communicate with the team. Otherwise, you're just not there. So it's just this endless standoff. And again, there's not going to be a trade that happens when all this is going on. So it's not really benefiting either side in this situation.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Oh, we get
news.
Lucky on Tuesdays. We get Mark Sanchez for a couple of segments. We love that. 10 years in the NFL. Jets, Eagles, Cowboys. Washington is now joining us. By the way, I said earlier today, the Colts and the Vikings are the two teams in the league that I think are playoff teams, but not currently, but I think they're undervalued. You had Minnesota Chargers. We picked on this show Minnesota. I think they're really talented. I think they can beat you over the top with Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook's obviously special. You did their game this week against the Chargers. Your take, there's always a team in the league, second half of the year, they just pop and you're like, we should have seen it coming. This team's lost like six close games. I like Minnesota.
I mean, they're right in them. It was just a matter of time before one of these footballs bounced their way, right? And that's all you can ask for is these guys to give yourself an opportunity. I thought Kirk Cousins in the two games we had him against Seattle And then against the Chargers, he was lights out. I thought that interception, right? The game ended, what, 27-20? The interception before halftime,
yeah.
Eric Kendricks diving makes this interception. I thought Herbert kind of locked onto that deep crossing route that he was trying to fit in. And I think it was to Keenan Allen. And Eric Kendricks, I mean, he's underrated.
He may, as a linebacker in pass defense.
Oh, my gosh. But even against the run, I mean, he's so slippery and so quick, he'll, like, backdoor cut you as the zone read's going or, like, the zone run is going, and he'll just backdoor cut and slip in behind a double team, and nobody knows where he went. And there he is in the backfield making the tackle. Like, he is and he hunted up the route. Like, he felt play action quickly, makes his step up, making sure it's not run, and then immediately – turns around, like you can tell he studies because he immediately turns around and looks for the deep crosser, hunts him up, boom, finds the deep crosser, then turns around, then has the ball skills to dive and catch that football. But that was the difference in the game.
Where are you on Herbert now? He's only got 20, 25 starts. Where are you on Justin?
Oh, I think he's doing just fine. I think he locked on. He made a, you know, kind of like a rookie mistake, a young quarterback mistake, and blew it with that throw. But you know, he's not going to do that. I mean, he's not like a 4-interception-a-game guy. Like, that's going to happen once every 2 seasons with a kid like this. And he's learning things so quickly. You know, and I said it to his coach, Lombardi. I was like, he's like a puppy with these big paws, and he doesn't even know how big and how strong and how fast and how good he's going to be.
Yeah.
But he's starting to see it. They're starting to see it. You know, they saw it in flashes last year. Now it's becoming more and more consistent. Without that one, we're talking one throw in a game. And they're still learning how to do it, right? Like, they're not
rookie coach.
Yeah, it's still young. Coach Staley's still teaching these guys. And I thought a real telling play was, you know, Minnesota uses motion. They get Justin Jefferson to go across the formation. Boom, Chris Harris is running with them. And Chris Harris is doing a lot for this defense because they're light at corner. He's an experienced guy, Kansas guy. I was with him in Denver. I think he's awesome. Aggressive, tough, strong, confident. But he's screaming at the safety, reminding him, hey, you got my inside help. You got my inside help. And he's motioning to him. And the safety, Alohi, like, looks at him, confirms the signal, like, yeah, I got you. And there goes Justin Jefferson on a quick little inside move. And Chris Harris is like, all right, where's my help? Boom. Jefferson catches this thing and splits him. And Chris is like, dude, what are we doing? You know? Yeah. And so for Coach Staley, like, you can't – it's tough for him because he called the right defense. They should have executed right. One of the guys had it and the other guy didn't. It might have been because they, like, ran into each other in the end zone right before. And those kind of plays, like on a critical third down to give it back to Justin at the end, at least to come back, make up for your earlier mistake, like, you need those plays. And they're learning. They're learning because they're very young.
Okay, Rams back-to-back weekends get pushed around physically. It's not they lost. They kind of lost the same way. You make anything of it.
Well, I think the 49ers are the ultimate spoiler, and that's been tough for the Rams the last few years. Like, the 49ers play them tough.
Yeah.
And that little NorCal-SoCal rivalry, it's legit. And they can bully you up front. The Niners are starting to get healthy and are starting to peak.
That's key.
My fear in that division is these teams are going to kind of cannibalize each other, right? They just cancel each other out with Arizona starting hot, knocking off a couple of their divisional opponents. Boom, now they're kind of on the downskid. The 49ers are peaking at the right time. Seattle, I don't know, you know, like, did we bring Russell back too early? Like, did we want to sit him out another game? But we couldn't because it was a huge NFC game. That whole division, the Rams are in desperate need of a bye. I think they can really reassess some things, bring Odell Beckham along, and they're going to need to sit him down this week and just, like, go over stuff like, hey, here's 10 to 20 things that we know you can do. And whatever it takes, code words, wristband, whatever it is, but for these next, you know, 7-8 weeks, this is kind of your playbook as you get more comfortable, and then we'll reassess in the playoffs and try and you know, add more to your plate, but you can't overload them.
We were saying this morning is everybody always wants to be right. So I said with Mac Jones, I think there's limitations. You're not going to get much stuff off script, but he's getting Belichick a great defense. They're not going to ask a lot. And, you know, now everybody's like, oh, my, look at him. Well, you know, they've beaten Baker, Zach Wilson twice, Darnold, David Mills. A lot of it is Belichick just unraveling quarterbacks.
No doubt.
And then they beat Justin Herbert, but Mac had, you know, 70 passer rating, 18 completions. It's not a knock on him. I think he's been a smart kid, quick learner. They're not asking a ton of him.
Right.
And I still, to me, you don't arrive. I mean, you arrive when you can go to Foxborough and beat Brady. It's like, okay, we got that
sure,
works.
Sure.
not that I'm a cynic on Mac, but I think we're going a little nuts now. I think the story of this team is the defense is back. The secondary is insane.
Yeah.
I think that's the story. Mac's just easier to grab onto. What do you see with
New England? The quarterback's going to get too much criticism and too much praise. That's right. The nature of the position. But the defense has helped him out a ton. They have plenty of playmakers with Judon. They just got rid of Gilmore, and they're still playing lights out in the secondary.
Yeah.
And that's coaching. That's putting guys in the proper position to be successful. And Coach Belichick's going to do that. The other thing is Mac Jones fits his mentality, because more games, and I could just hear Coach Belichick saying this, more games are going to be lost. They're just going to be given away than they are actually gone and taken and won and grabbed and, you know, and go steal the victory. Usually you're handing these games out by a silly penalty, the taunting penalty.
Well, the game you did was two plays.
No doubt. It was two plays. And those silly penalties, you're just going to give them away. And Mac Jones, at a young age for him, to understand that, I mean, that's why he's been a winner at every level, high school, college, now in the NFL. He knows what gets you beat, and he avoids those. You know, he pulls up to the intersection, and there's like a little fender bender, and he can assess the situation and kind of navigate around it, and boom, and let's keep driving down steady. Okay, 10-2. He's not like 100 miles an hour into the intersection, like, oh, let's see what the problem is. You know, he's smart. He's really smart, and he takes care of the football. He fits Belichick's system perfectly. But he's on pace for a completion record that's going to beat Dak Prescott's. Like, he reminds me of Dak a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Dak has a little more, physical talent.
Yeah.
But Mac is talented enough. Like, he's athletic enough. He's got the short area quickness. He can move in the pocket, over one, up one, boom, make a throw, keep a good base, get back to your base if you get off it. I think he's plenty athletic enough to do that. And he's making the right throws. I think he could just really use like one stud receiver.
That's
to really put it over the top.
We do know they were in on OBJ. They were. All right, more with Mark in a second.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now they go to Kansas City. Chiefs look right. What worries you? Anything you worry about with Dallas?
So I don't worry about them. I'm just, in the next 12 days, I'm going to know everything I need to know about Dallas.
Okay?
On the road at KC. Then they get home against Las Vegas on Thanksgiving. Then they're on the road at New Orleans. So like three unfamiliar teams in a span of about 12 days, that's going to tell me everything. They got to get through it healthy. They got to bring some of their guys back.
Randy Gregory's hurt now.
Gregory, Tyron Smith, managing their load through these next 3 weeks. I think Gallup coming back, huge. But Tyron Smith and Gregory, they're going to need those guys down the stretch. And these next three games, it always seems like that. Like, my year in Dallas was Dak's rookie year, and I remember this stretch. And they always have this stretch of three games in 12 days because it's Dallas, and they always have that Thanksgiving game at home, right? So, like, to compensate for that, if we're going to give you that exposure on TV, like, the rest is going to be hard, and you're going to be traveling, and it's going to be a lot to manage these next 3 weeks. But like I said, after that, I'll know everything I need to know. They manage that properly. It's a 2-1, 3-0 stretch. There we go. Yeah.
By the way, you do see why people were patient with Randy Gregory. He's right.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't look like other athletes. he just blows everything up.
It's unbelievable. He is so talented.
It's incredible.
And it's just like, you always have guys like that in college and then especially in the NFL, just like, okay, whatever we got to do, just get him to the game. Just make sure he shows up. Go wake him up in his bed. Go hold his hand. Get him to get a little food in his system and just show up. Lace up his cleats, whatever you have to do.
Randy Gregory.
Get him to the game.
Literally just runs through people.
It's crazy.
Carolina and Cam, what do you make of it?
I feel like they're a little bit of the East Coast Rams, a little bit. Adding Stephon Gilmore, bringing Cam back. I saw something on the internet where they're like, they're paying Cam. They're paying Cam's replacement. Cam's replacement's replacement. And then paying Cam to replace his replacement's replacement, which was like full circle, so weird, but so happy for both sides, right? They're both kind of looking for something, and it's like, hey, that wasn't so bad. Like, you see your ex-girlfriend out or something like that, and you're like, you know, we did have some fun times.
That's right.
Let's run it back.
Hey,
you know?
Cam is one of those players like Cam. There's quarterback. OBJ may do it to the Rams. Cam adds energy, and this team is pretty stoic offensively with a good front seven. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this last week. I'm like, they have a chance to make the playoffs.
Oh, they're fighting for that 6 or 7 spot. I mean, no doubt they can make a run here. And the thing is, as long as Cam takes care of the football, he adds all the pizzazz and flash that he has, gets his timely completions. McCaffrey stays healthy. That's a major one. But their defense, Shaq Thompson, don't forget now, this dude grew up with the Luke Kuechlys of the world and Thomas Davis of the world. I mean, those are two of the best linebackers to ever do it. And they didn't win a Super Bowl, or we'd be talking about that team a little different and those two guys a little different. But he's that mold. Like, he's a straight-up dog on the field. And you saw his presence a couple weeks ago against Atlanta, his first game back. When he's back, that defense looks right. And now they got a stud at corner. They're on the right track. I think, you know, I think this could be a good coordinator for Cam, too. Because I don't know if he's had, like, a true traditional West Coast kind of guy. I'm trying to think. He had Shula
for a long time. He had Shula for a while.
I just feel like this could be okay. Like, it could work and be sustainable for a little bit. And then after the season, now you got a lot to figure out.
By the way, I don't want to pick on Baker. I said this a month ago. You got to consider everything. You know, I'd call Derek Carr. I would consider bringing Baker back.
Yeah.
I would see what Garoppolo's got on the market. The only thing I wouldn't do, because Baker's personality, I would not draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't think Baker and him, I don't think it would click. I think Garoppolo is kind of a chill dude, and he's like, bring in.
The fact that Jimmy's handled it this way, like in production meetings, I pulled him aside the other day, and I was just like, bro, that ain't easy. I feel you on this one, man. Geno Smith, Tim Tebow, other guys coming in, it's a lot on your plate, and it's no, you know, fault of the other guy. They're just trying to play. They're just trying to come in and compete, and you respect that. But at the same time, it's like, what? It's hard enough to convert a third down, okay? It's hard enough to orchestrate a touchdown drive. Now I got to deal with this in the media too. Like, now, why would you do that to somebody?
Is there a market for Garoppolo?
I think so. Somebody's going to pick him up, especially if he plays like the way he did the other night.
He doesn't get hurt.
That's right. He's got to stay healthy. That's been it. When he's you see the numbers, the difference in record when he's playing and not playing for San Fran.
It's a totally different
team. It's not even close. So, yeah, does he have, you know, maybe a bonehead play here or there? Sure, of course. He's not going to be, like, you know, top 5 quarterback every season. But he's good enough, and he's good enough to win. He makes some pretty special throws, man. And now that Kittle's back, you know, like, when you get some weapons around him, just like anybody, it's going to elevate their play.
Hey, I always got to ask you a Jets question. It's pretty rough right now in New York. The defense is regressing. Zach is,
I saw Rex.
Zach's Rex Ryan. Off.
He said, "Don't you compare him to me?" I was like dang.
Listen, you've been. It was never at this level, but you. What's it like in New York to be the young quarterback with this stuff?
Oof. I mean, it's the food sucks. You don't want to be around your dog. Your girlfriend's ugly. Everything sucks.
Really?
When it's going down, I mean, it's just so much to manage because there's so much written and you have to at least have an idea, right? And we've talked about this.
You hear it.
The PR guy has to brief you on what goes in. Just like the president goes into a press conference, he's not like going in blind.
Right.
You got to know, hey, what's being said? Okay, here's kind of this. Here's what he's trying to get out of you, blah, blah, blah. And so, I mean, for Zach and then the quarterback carousel that's gone on, the Mike White, awesome day, Mike White, rough day. I mean, those are...
Now a former coach ripping the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it just... Then you get, you know, when I was there, it was Ray Lucas, you know, he would say, you know, oh, yeah, Sanchez did well, blah, blah, blah. And then I go in and throw 5 picks and it was like, oh, God, this guy's terrible. You're like, dang, Ray, like, I thought we were boys.
Right.
So it's just things like that. That's natural in New York. It just happens there and it's so much bigger and so much brighter and so much more is said because there's more people talking about it. So you just feel it a little more and that's the nature of the beast. But so either this will push you even farther down into that spiral because you feel like you're in the toilet just swirling around, or it's going to make you tougher. It's going to battle test you. It's going to bring you, you know, it's got to burn down. It's got to be ashes for this phoenix to rise, essentially, right? So if that's what's going to happen, then we'll see. But this is going to take some time. Now you got to withstand all that, all that pressure over time, and that's hard there.
Yeah. All right. That's good stuff. In fact, I think I saw the brother of Robert Saleh on social media defend his brother.
Well, so. I mean, you got to stick up for your bro.
Yeah. No.
I get it.
No.
But yeah, I mean, he's under fire, man. And as soon as Rex
and
said
his
that,
side of the bowl.
Yeah, especially. And as soon as Rex said that, then it's like, oh, well, now it's almost like one of your own is, you know, I don't know. It's just almost like friendly fire kind of thing. And so, you know, people make a big deal out of that. And, you know, Rex is Rex. He's being Rex. I get it. I understand why. If he says, hey, listen, you know, this defense is giving up all these points. Like, I played with five cornerbacks out, and it still didn't look this bad, you know, so he's just doing it right.
All right, Mark's done for today. Speak for Yourself is around the corner. For Joy, Ryan, everybody here, thanks so much for watching. In L.A., it's been The Herd.